You need to keep in mind that he doesn't change. Joshua asked that question, art thou for us or for our enemies? And the captain of the host of the Lord didn't say, I am for you or for your enemies. He said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord comes. You have to make a decision. Whose side are you on? So it is through God. You need to realize that. And living in that light, you need to please God. A soldier that are really living his life for the pleasures of the enemy and for the enticement of the enemy could not do anything. And what the enemy does is to trying to get the soldier to be... Look at Samson. That's what the enemy have done. Entice him in a way that he thought in his own strength he could get up like he got up every time and beat up the Philistines. When he lost through God, being a Nazarite, he got up, he stole the man that thought he... And you know what? They took him, took his eyes off, and made him to do the millstone like an ox. Worthless for God. Because in his own strength, he could not do anything. The secret of Samson's strength, the secret of our military or our weapons of warfare is through God. It is the idea of that is God who are designing and operating these equipment. But what are the strongholds? It is what the enemy have fortified in the mind of man against God. And we will open it up when we come to verse 5. And the first thing is reasoning or doubt. That's what he... The first thing that he fortified is that very same thing. And that's not new. It was his first bomb that he threw at Eve. Has God said? It is that doubt. And none of us could sit in his room and he said, I never really doubted anything. Yes, we did. We didn't say it out loud, but in our mind, many times, we really doubted. And that's really, he fortified that now. It's not just a thought, but he fortified that stronghold. And he start with the mind itself. Remember, we talked about the mind of the flesh. The ability to think in a certain way. And the mind of the flesh raises doubt, raises suspicious, raises untrust. And that's what, and he fortified that in your life and mine. And what we need to realize, that is really the stronghold of the enemy, is the doubt that he fortified throughout the life of the believer.
And brother, before we get really into that, it's interesting that the weapons, though, the arms of our warfare, you know, if you think of in the military, if someone's not trained to know how to use them, they're very worthless. Completely worthless. Like even in the day of the Roman soldiers, if they were never trained how to handle a sword, how to handle the two different size shields that they had, how to put on the breastplate, what if they had on backwards? It wouldn't do any good. I mean, you have to be trained. You have to have experience with the Lord. And I think this is what often happens. You know, we say, yes, we have the Bible as one of our weapons. But how many of us really know the Word of God in a sense that the Spirit of God can use it? Not that we carry it. We can't carry this every moment we walk. Now people have it on their little phones. But the Word of God needs to be part of us. Not just a book in our hand or on our little laptop or whatever. It has to be part of us. So we have to be in it daily. I think the Lord is a great example. He rose long before it was day. And he prayed. We have to ingest the Word. We have to make it part of us to allow the Spirit of God to use it as a weapon. We face this enemy every day. So we need to ingest the Word. We need to have the shield of faith. And even though I think the weapons are they're defensive and offensive, you need to know how to use the weapons for both. Whether you had to go forward and to take and overtake a stronghold, or whether you had to defend a front, you had to use those weapons. So we need to encourage ourselves. In the assemblies, we need to encourage ourselves to really understand these valuable tools that we have to be used for the glory of God and to know how to utilize them in the presence of the Lord. I think mighty through God, it shows that we are completely dependent upon His equipping us to stand against the enemy. Because the enemy's not thinking that because we're having a Bible conference, I guess they got me. Oh, no. He's extremely crafty. And I think it's very interesting in 1 and 2 Corinthians we learn so much about the devil. There's so much exposed about him here. because they didn't realize, because they were so blind to this, because of the flesh, that he was influencing them from all directions, morally, philosophically. In bold face, he would come in. He would use whatever he could with them because they were in such a state. If we're in a fleshly state, we're unaware of the enemy's working. And therefore, he's got material they can easily work with. Whether he causes division, he caused them to be at odds with one another, party spirit, whatever he could use. Come to the Lord's Supper drunk. Today we would say, what is this? But this is the type of things he put into the mind of these so-called believers. And this is what they were practicing. So we need to be engaged with the Word of God.
But just to... Go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Just reading verse 5. There's really some thought-provoking imagery there. You know, there's casting down every high thing. And then there's bringing into captivity. And in 2 Kings 23, maybe think of Josiah. You read that chapter, and he goes all throughout the land, tearing down the idols, grinding them to powder, burning. It's this huge event, and it makes me think of this casting down. And then at the end, it says, keep the Passover. That was the positive side of it, and that's what we have here. That is the bringing every thought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is an extremely challenging statement. Every thought. And you can't do it in your own power. Our minds cannot do that. And that's why in the first epistle, we have the mind of Christ.
I also believe it was mentioned earlier on about the stronghold. Also, we find like in the assembly, like maybe in the meeting, and one can think of Eli and Hannah in 1 Samuel when she was praying, and Eli, as a man of God, would say. At the time, would say to her that she's drunk. But then, prior, she was praying. But we find that in verse 17 of 1 Samuel, it says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So we find that, we mentioned about prayer, how powerful it is. And as our brother Dave mentioned about it, that and brother John and the Virgin and whole, how if you have the tool and you don't know how to use it, you don't value anything. But we find that it's not only out in the world. We can have problem with it even in the assembly, and so we have to be on guard, and we have to know and understand the will of the Lord.
Sing a hymn. Is it the right time to? Can we sing just verse 2 of number 381?